Please turn with me to Lord's Day 33 of the Heidelberg Catechism. These are our subordinate doctrines that summarize the fundamentals of what Christians have believed historically. But the value of it is because it summarizes what the Bible teaches regarding our salvation and God's will for our lives is. And in this part, we're talking about, we're in the section of gratitude. And we're talking about our relationship to the law of God. And so, Lord's Day 33 summarizes what it means to live before God in light of His law. And so, let's confess this together. Lord's Day 33, please respond to the questions. In how many things does true repentance or conversion consist? In two things, the dying of the old man and the making alive of the new. What is the dying of the old man? Heartfelt sorrow for sin, causing us to hate and turn it always more. What is making alive of the new man? Heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to take delight in living according to the will of God in all good works. What are good works? Those only which proceed from true faith and are done according to the law of God, unto His glory, and not such as rest on our own opinion or the commandments of men. Amen. Saints of God, I want to make a statement to begin our summary here. And it's this, that you will not grow in your faith unless you know God more. You won't grow in your faith by doing more things, doing good works. You won't grow in your faith with that. In fact, it can be a source of despair. It can be a source of doubt if you lean on your Christian life on your performance. Your faith will grow and the good works will come out of your faith when you know God more. You knowing God in His holiness, knowing God in His sovereignty, knowing God in His grace and His faithfulness. I mean, do you notice when the Psalms, when you read the Psalms, the writers are not suggesting that you praise God, but rather they're commanding you as His people to praise God? Some Psalms command the angels to praise God. They command all of creation to praise God. And they even command the nations to praise God. Now, these writers, these people we read in the Bible, in the Old or New Testament, they're not special people. You know, they're not super Christians. They're not super spiritual. They're just ordinary sinners like you and me. Of course, saved by grace. I mean, you're talking about the Psalms, I mean, David, who wrote a lot of the Psalms, was guilty of adultery, of murder. Paul, who is guilty of murdering Christians. I mean, every single writer, every single character, godly character anyways, in the Bible, has deep flaws, a lot of them. But that's not why we should, we shouldn't look to these people and look and see how great their faith is and see how great their godliness is and try to mimic that. But let's understand why these writers, why the psalmist, why does Paul conclude the way that he does? Why does he break out in doxology in the middle of his letters? It's because he knows God increasingly through His Word. Because they know the gospel. Because the gospel is not just something we hear, something that's relevant for us to get into the kingdom or to become saved. The gospel is the sustenance, is the bread and butter. It's the air that we breathe as Christians. It's not just something to get us in the church. The gospel is how we survive. The gospel is how we are sustained through our walk of life. The gospel, the good news that says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come down to save sinners. That we who were worthy of wrath have been spared because Christ took our punishment. that by his blood we have been forgiven of all our sins, and by his death we've been given new life. By his victory over sin and death, Christ has given us the Holy Spirit to walk in victory. With this new life, we are no longer slaves to our sin. We're slaves now to righteousness. And we not only recognize what offends God, but we turn away from those things that we know offend God. And we pursue righteousness. We pursue godliness. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been given a sensitivity to sin. How do we know what sin is? How do we know what offends God? By the law of God. Now, the law of God, of course, is, as we mentioned earlier or last time, it's not just the Ten Commandments. The law of God means instruction, which means the whole of God's word contains his will. So it's not just on the Ten Commandments, but also because what we see in the 66 books of the Word of God is God, his character, right? We see what offends him. We see what praises him. We see what it means to live before him. And God does not conform to our demands. He doesn't conform to our culture. God says, I am what I am. He's the same God from Genesis to Revelation. The same God who judged the world with a flood and with fire has sent his Son to save us from his judgment. He's the same God who destroys nations. He's the same God who preserves and provides for his people faithfully. Understand that holy angels in heaven spend day and night proclaiming Christ's holiness. And yet, when Christ looks at you and looks at me, he says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brethren. You will not grow in your hate for your sin and calling out sin for what it is unless your knowledge of God grows. Unless you know his will more. Knowing God more means you will know more about yourself and how you are to live. Knowing God more means you will understand his grace and his mercy to a greater and greater degree. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 33 with that.